Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matefli nikashto fatemia fatifit, 48 feet. Lingrista fatafit, asangli kastafit. Michael, how beautiful are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that bring the tidings of salvation. Michael in your midst, Michael in your midst, My Michael, bring the message. My Michael, bring a 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 message. And I hear in the spirit, come and see. Michael, say, come and see. Michael, say, come and see. Come and see the things that contain in the book. Come and see the thing that is contained in the parchment that I brought for my father. He you no passi prase first father. And bring manna, bring me my manna, bring manna from the father. Bring manna from the father. I bring food from the father. I bring food for my father. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. For the feet of Michael is here. See the Spirit of God. Thank you. So Pate Alan asked part eight. Mama Pate part lek tete part. Tek 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 part. My baby baba tek 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 tek. Ooh. 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 Sis. Part. Take part. Partake. Take part. Bring partake, take part, take part, take part, take part, take part, need to take part. My, take part, take part, you, part, you, part. You are to take part. You are to take part. There is a part that you to take. You are to take part. I bring the toast a protected part. I bring grace. I bring open door. I bring the open door. I bring the open door. I bring the answer to your prayer. I bring the answer to your prayer. Even that prayer, even that waiting you have been waiting. Even as a company, as a congregation, even Jesus, bring me. Send me to bring you to take part. To bring to take part. To open the door partaking of these things. Even to see these things everlasting. To see the Father. Even to see the Father. For I bring grace for you to partake. There is an open door to partake. For the feet of Michael is here. 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 For the feet of Michael is here.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We've been fasting and praying. Amen. We've been praying and fasting. It's been a wonderful time, hasn't it? It's been a wonderful time, hasn't it? Praise God. All right. As it we are, except there's further instruction, this week is supposed to be the last week of our praying and fasting, and part of the burden, the burdens that the pastors have been sharing as a charge every morning, is a burden that the Lord began to, you know, strongly impress in my heart, speaking to me concerning the season that we are in. And the reason why we have to not just hear, but pray for proper positioning for to enter into life. To enter into life is for to enter into everlasting life. Amen. Amen. So, I shared it, and of course, it has been properly listening to every one of them, both those who exalt and those who lead prayers, is being properly prayed. But I want to say that we can't finish praying it. We just have to keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. Hallelujah. But alongside the flip side of the burden also was this, which I, at the point I wanted to share it the way I did it also while I was there in, you know, in Poland, but I couldn't. I just felt I, you know, each time I picked it up, there was this restriction, and I felt the Lord wanted me to share it being here physically, and probably this time that we are having the last lap of our prayers. Praise God. Amen. I began to share this burden, this particular one, last year, sometime last year. I think, I can't remember, was it last year or year before last? Towards the ending of year before last or last year, beginning, I began to talk about 2 Peter chapter 3. We quickly turned to it, 2 Peter chapter 3. I preached a little bit from it, and then I was interrupted and I had to go into something else as the Lord led us. And it came back strongly again to me as a burden that we need to take up in prayers. As a burden that we need to take up in prayers. Let's pray. Father, I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy for the house. I ask for understanding. Lord, that even as I speak, burden of prayer will rest upon every heart. That, Lord, they will understand what you are saying, and then, Lord, you will teach us to pray even accordingly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for you grant me utterance in Jesus' name. So,
First Peter chapter 4 from verse 7. Amen. You can see, you can remember it, that there was a time I began sharing from here. So it came back again, stronger as a burden right now to pray along this line. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayers. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. Basically, these few verses, beginning with the fact that Peter began to raise our consciousness of the fact that the end of all things is at hand. I used to say, I wonder the kind of mindset they lived with. Just thinking of it, the kind of mindset that first century church. Now, you know, we've talked about it a few times and we said they believed that the Lord was coming in their day. And I think I can see the reason why they believed he was coming. One of it was that the church, that early church, journeyed so far, journeyed to almost the finishing of the program of God. Because if the program of God be finished, then even the physical earth will begin to give way. What we see standing right now, the arrangement, the whole reason for the earth, that God is leaving the earth the way it is. Of course, the earth is boiling as we are, but I'm just saying that the reason why things are still going the way they go, or the way they are going, one reason is because there is something God is doing in the church. If the church, if he finishes the program in the church, finishing the program in the church simply means if he achieves his intention, which is to harvest sons, if he finishes it, there will be no reason for time again. Time would have fulfilled its purpose. Time is not without purpose. But God will continue to, you know, leave things the way they are because he has not finished, but he will finish. Now, another way to understand it is that when he said, ye are the salt of the earth. So remove salt from that which is to be preserved. That which is to be preserved will quickly go into corruption. Meaning corruption is readily available. This, in fact, the Bible calls it the corruption that is in this world. So when you say this world, which is this system, this world has capacity not only to corrupt the souls of men, but to corrupt nature, corrupt things, corruption at the level where they seek to change times and season. You know, that's part of what the Antichrist is going to be doing. He's going to seek to change times, change season, change things, alter things. You know, it's happening around us, but we don't even see it. We don't even think it's anything because we are used to it. It's not natural that you eat tomatoes when it's not tomato season. You're altering season. Some of the things I read, you know, informations that, you know, I just read about, gather, some of the so-called advancements into corruption. In the next 5 years or less, most of the meat you're going to be seeing in maybe they are going to begin to serve it, you know, at some of your eateries, are not going to be meat they killed an animal to get. It's meat grown in a lab. The way you culture bacteria. Those who do microbiology here, you know how you culture bacteria in a media. You culture bacteria and the bacteria will grow, and then you put your sensitivity disc, and then you're able to get your result. They are growing meat. They've done it already, and they've succeeded in it. So some of the meat that is going to be in the market, for those of you who will not go to kill. In fact, right now, I was told that Israel does not buy meat, you know, because they are Orthodox. They don't buy meat from most European countries. They buy meat only from the countries they know that the animal was killed and they see blood. So you're going to be eating meat that there was no blood. It's going to taste like meat. Everything, you know, the one of egg had been since. Many of you don't know. The one of egg has been. One time I told us about it. So it's not egg again, the one that chicken lays, you crack and then pour. This one is egg that is manufactured and poured into the keg. You fry it. So you buy it like you buy Chivita, and then you put your oil and onions, and then you pour the egg and fry it. Yeah. Amen. But I want you to understand, amen, I want you to understand that when you begin to see these things in the natural, it speaks of what is going on in the spiritual. So even that in the natural is not so much of what is the trouble. The trouble is what is going on in the spiritual, in the, I want to call it the diabolical world. The diabolical world is not magic world. It's not occultic. It's a realm of intelligent spirits interacting with men, giving them, you know, thoughts as a result of what they have already done, enabling men to carry it out in the physical, because as it is done in the spirit, you're going to see it also play out in the physical. Amen. Praise God. So I just said that to say to us that the disciples, they journeyed to the point where the church, early church, almost, I want to say almost finished. Because when you look at the epistles of John, they were almost at the end. Peter will not be saying the end of all things is at hand if he, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, has not seen that the program of God was almost finishing in their days. So they lived with a consciousness of finish. We need to finish. We need to finish. We need to race. We need to press in. We need to go further. All of them. We need to go further. We need to press in. We need to finish this program. We need to get to the end of the matter. Like I said, the getting to the end of the matter is actually bringing all things. Now, I want to put it this way. The end of all things is not just the end of all things physical, but it is applicable, because the end of all things of God in the church will bring the end of all things physical. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
Yes, sir. is going to bring the end of all things what? Physical, like I said, physical things are just left because spiritual things or what God is intending or what God is doing spiritually has not yet finished it. But he is about to finish it. I want to say to us, we are at the end of God's program. What is the end? Eternal life being given to man. We are right at the end, getting to almost the end. If you ask me how many more years, if we are to calibrate it according to time, I will tell you in the next 15, 20 years, people would have entered into eternal life. That amen is sounding like unbelief. Except if you're not looking for eternal life. If you're looking for what I'm looking for, if you're looking for what I'm looking for, you would have said amen very well. Maybe some of you don't want things to end. Remember this? I remember the sister, wonderful sister. She told me, she herself told me the story. She was telling me, Pastor, before I got married, I didn't like preaching about rapture. She's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Wonderful sister. So she didn't like about preaching about rapture. And I said, why? And she said, the Lord needs to wait because some of us need to get married. And then eventually she got married. And then she said, the Lord needs to wait because I would like to experience childbirth. And she gave birth to children. And then maybe the Lord, she was the one saying the Lord, because it would be good to see these children grow. Then the next one is to see their children. After all, God said, you see your children's children. Amen. You know, it's the promise of God, you see your children's children. But you know, that promise is not everybody that will partake of it, because there's a generation that will not see their children's children. Am I altering God's word? No, I'm in line. There's a generation. If rapture comes now, you will not see your children's children. Am I lying? So there's something more important than children. There's something more important than children's children. There's something more important than any earthly agenda. There's something more important than any earthly promise. Even promises that you find in the scriptures that are earthly, there is something more important than it. What is more important than it is that eternal life is given to man. Finally, eternal life is given to man. When the day you lay hold on eternal life, you will not remember you didn't marry. Now I'm talking to those who are not married. Those who are married, you will know you are married and you have eternal life. Amen. Amen. But you're married. What I'm saying is that marriage does not stop you from having eternal life. It can, if you don't obey God in it. And not being married does not stop you from having eternal life. It can, if you don't obey. If marriage now occupies your mind and you're telling God, here we live and die. Carest thou not that I have no husband? Seest thou us, you know, that I go, or wifeless? Seest thou that I go spouseless? What can you do? And God said, I am your shield. I'm your shield and exceeding great. You know, shield is everlasting life. Exceeding great reward is eternal life. He said, I'm everlasting life and eternal life. He said, God, what will you do? See me now. See me as I be. Amen. But I'm telling you something. Try it. Tell somebody, try it. The day you lay hold on eternal life, try laying hold on eternal life. Just try it. You will not remember any earthly promise. It supersedes. Then you will know what they call reward. There is nothing here that is a reward. You think marriage is a reward? Marriage is not a reward. Marriage is a work. Now process. Then go pummel you very well for marriage. Amen. You're supposed to use it to get everlasting life. Or you think children is, because they said children are the heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is not his reward to you, is his own reward. Is a heritage of the Lord, is his own inheritance. Your children is his inheritance, is what he's inheriting from you. The fruit of your womb is reward to him. Amen. But I'm saying to you, see all these things that disturb us, that make us feel if God does not answer, because I'm sure as we are praying, some have been waiting for when we will pray for certain areas of our lives. I am sorry, I'm your pastor. We are not doing bad. Are we doing bad? I've not done you bad. But I'm not led we should pray for those things. It's a consecration. It's a focus. But I'm saying the day you get eternal life, every other thing, you will know that there is nothing here that is a reward. There is only God that is a reward. Can I share another one with us? I know some of us have challenges, you have things you're going through, and you think if this thing is not met, if this need is not met, or if this particular situation is not turned around, then I don't know how what I'm going to do. My testimony is not complete. That is not testimony. The testimony that I desire to have is that I laid hold on eternal life. You know, Jesus said something. He said, it is better for you to enter into life having one hand, one leg, one eye maimed than for your whole body. Now that maim, that's one hand, something was cut off. And it was good that was cut off so that you'll be able to enter. If they leave everything the way it is, some of us will not enter. That's the truth about it. So they have to help you cut off some things. And the thing they are cutting off can be the thing that is still paining you, but it is entrance. Can you say it's entrance? Entrance. Hallelujah. Let me go further. So I said, the end, the way they lived too with the mindset that the end is almost here. And can I say this to you? If the Holy Ghost allowed Peter to write this thing down, that the end of all things is at hand, then what of now? Praise God. Praise God. Now this is Holy Ghost speaking. This is not man speaking, because I know according to your own theology, according to your own timing, you would have checked, okay, from that time up to now, that's about 2,000 years. In the realm of the spirit, they don't see 2,000 years. If you meet Michael, he doesn't know night and day. They don't sleep. You have to sleep to rest. They don't sleep. So rest, actually, rest in the concept of God is not sleeping. Rest in God. When you hear God say rest, can you say rest? Is not, finally. No, that's not rest. Rest is a state. And it's only God that can define that state. If you want to bring your your understanding of rest, you totally miss God. When he said, they will not enter into my rest. So he wasn't talking about something they knew anything about. So that realm of eternal life is a realm of rest. So in other words, these ones we are running, almost pressing into rest. You will enter into it, and as you enter, you just discover that you've come into a state where you rest. So I was saying that in the realm of the spirit, there is nothing like 2,000 years. When you enter into rest, you won't count time. I know somebody is asking me, how do you know? When you enter into rest, time, can you say time?
Time.
Say it again to me, time. Time, according to the way we count time, years, months, and all of that became a countdown after the fall. Meaning he came down from rest that was set for him. Because God created him on the sixth day, and together they entered into rest. Activities in rest is activities that is above corruption. Rest does not mean inactivity. It simply means activity that is above corruption. That is rest. So he took them and they entered into rest. But you know, man sinned and fell short of rest. He came out of rest and fell into a place where he now assumed activities under the sun. Activities under the sun. Activities under the scourging of the sun. Activities under the canopy of corruption. And God promised rest, that we will come back into rest, that he will bring man into his rest. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I desire to come into that rest. Now, to come into that rest does not mean that you will live here. You might come into rest and you will still be here. Now, this is what I perceive that must have happened to the early church. Some of them crossed, and we are still left here. Many of them crossed. They entered. John said it. That which we have heard, we've seen, we looked upon, and our hands. What did we handle? Then he now told Timothy, lay hold. Fight the good fight of it. Lay hold. Whereunto you have been called. But I perceive he too have laid hold. Because if he had not laid hold, he wouldn't know what it means to lay hold. He too laid hold. So it means he entered into rest. He entered into that state called rest. So you can understand when Daddy was teaching, he said, rest is actually a teaching they will teach our soul. It's a revelation that is with the Father, which he will teach our soul to rest. So, like I said, they came to the end. And he began to declare, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. I like that. I'm going to just dwell here because we are trying to pray with this week. Be ye therefore sober. Now, I perceive one of the things that Peter was doing there was trying to position our heart. If the end is at hand, there is a heart disposition which we ought to have. Amen. Amen. There is a heart disposition to which which we ought to have, because to us the end of the world is come. There is a disposition of heart. We must understand how our heart should be as people who are at the end of all things. Amen. Can you say end of all things? Let me not keep you in the limbo. End of all things is actually the bringing to the end of God's program. When you begin to hear the everlasting gospel, the everlasting gospel, amen. Can you say the everlasting gospel?
Everlasting.
Say it again, the everlasting gospel.
The everlasting.
That was the gospel that they began to preach at the end. We read that place in the book of Revelation. The angel that flew and began to, you know, preach, having the everlasting gospel. I like that. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. To preach to them that dwell on the earth. The everlasting gospel. So this was like the last lap of revelation or unveiling of the gospel that has to be brought to mankind. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like I said, what our heart has to take a disposition of those who have come to the end. There's a way our heart should be. There is something we should be doing. There is something we should be doing. Now, if your heart has not come into that disposition, you won't do rightly. There's a disposition of heart that you ought to have for you to do things rightly at the end. Jesus gave a parable. You know, one of those parables about the end. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who takes a far journey, leaving the house for his servant according to their works. That's Mark 13:34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. So what you find here is Jesus, because he is the Son of Man, he was talking about him taking a far journey. Amen. And left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Now, so two people here. One is his servants, and then to every man his works. And commanded the porter, that's the gate man, when you're the porter, is the gate man, to watch. So, here he said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he said, but the end is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You watch unto prayer, be sober and watch unto prayer. Be sober. Can you say be sober?
Be sober.
Say be sober.
Be sober.
And then do what? Watch unto prayer. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Now, I want to say this. There's a need for us to be sober. If there's a time to be sober, it is even more now. Amen. To be sober, the time that we are in is a time of being sober. One of the reasons that we ought to be sober is it takes a sober heart, a sober kind of disposition of heart, not to miss details. Because here, details will be, one of the things I discover is that the Lord will not just allow some things to be brushed over like before. He's paying attention to details and wants you to put your eyes on details, especially with regards to the end of all things, which is salvation. Amen. 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 So we need to be, can you say we need to be sober? What was another word for sober? Can somebody tell me? What's another word for sober? Huh? I know grave. What's another word for it? Huh? Let me hear you. We have English students. I'm not saying revelational word. What's another word for sober? What did you say? Huh? Vigilant. Well, yeah, vigilance is part of being sober, being grave, sober. Pastor said serious, solemn, that's the word. Being in a state where you are solemn. Now, in that parable, one of the things that happened was that a particular servant thought the master was not coming, began to eat and drink and party and carouse, neglecting the work that he was supposed to do. And then his master came. So in other words, that servant was an example of not being sober, meaning he was not solemn. The solemnity is the shows you understand the seriousness of the business. You understand the seriousness of the business. There's a way it makes you sober. If you don't understand the seriousness of the business, you won't be sober. You will be full of your own excitement, not the excitement of that which is the end, your own excitement. Naturally, Satan likes souls to be excited. It's either you're excited or you're depressed. He likes it, either of them, but he doesn't want you to be sober. Mm-mm. It was John G. Lake that said, if you can get a soul, is it John G. Lake or Charles Finney? If you can get a soul to be quiet and think about his life, quiet, think sincerely, soberly about his life for 5 to 10 minutes, he said he'll give his life to Christ. So you can see Satan always likes a soul that is overtly excited. Now, that being excited is not excitement. It's not the right excitement. It's excitement in something that is like more like giving energy that is supposed to be conserved in order to pay attention to that which is important. Now, what I'm saying is this. If we really... So you can see how the disciples lived. Why they could conclude that the end of all things, they could see that the end of all things is at hand, was also because of the kind of disposition they had. They were sober. That's why Peter said, be therefore sober. Be sober. Be serious. Have a sober, solemn kind of reflection concerning the time and the season that we are. Another place Paul began to talk about something similar. He said that because the time is at hand, it remained that those who buy should be as though they are not buying, and those who are selling as if they are not selling, and those who are married as if they are not married. Meaning, those things are important. Buying is legitimate. Selling is legitimate. Being married is legitimate. But you see, there is something more serious that the thought of it should give you a solemn disposition. You can get so busy with all of those other things, and then you will not have that solemn disposition that you ought to have. Now, that solemn disposition, two things he talked about. Wherefore be sober and watch unto prayers. Maybe in the contemporary English we'll say watch and pray. Amen. So, as we are praying, we are also watching. How many of you are watching? What are you watching? How do you watch? Huh? What are you watching? When the prayer will be answered. What are you watching? Because we are commanded to watch and pray. Do you notice that everywhere Jesus talked about prayer, instruction to pray, is watch and pray. Check it, all the parables, watch and pray. Watch and pray, for you know not the hour the Son of Man cometh. It's always watch and pray. It's not just pray alone, you watch and pray. So watching is something very, very important. Now, I discover you won't be able to watch. You won't be a watcher if you're not sober. If you're not sober, you won't be a watcher. You'll be careless. Now, there is in the scripture, you know, there are people they call watchers. Amen. They are watchers. They observe. That's what it means to watch. To observe. Now, our watching is not in the natural. Our watching is in the spirit. Meaning we observe things in the spirit. We observe things in the spirit. We take cognizance of what is going on in the spirit. Now, what is going on in the spirit is the things that are coming. Observe, watch, and pray. Amen. I know somebody is asking, I quite don't understand what you're saying about watch. Observe. Observe things in the spirit. Now, when I say observing things in the spirit, I'm not talking about spirit of discernment. Observe things in the spirit. Observe the manner of entrance the Lord has amidst us. Because who are you watching? Is Him now? Is He not the one we are waiting for? There's a watch and pray. Is Him that we are watching. So we are observing the manner of entrance that He is having amidst us. Now, observing the manner of entrance also helps you keep repositioning and repositioning and repositioning of hearts. Our hearts must keep on being adjusted. Your heart must not be at the same place, meaning as we observe the day drawing closer and closer, there is always a word. There is always a commandment that is for us, which we need to take heed to. Amen. So we are watching. Can you say we are watching?
We are watching.
Can you say we are watching? You're watching, meaning you're observing in the spirit the entrance the Lord is having amidst us. That will make for heart positioning, because that's the essence of it. Your heart will be constantly being positioned and repositioned and again repositioned, and you keep positioning your heart. What we are trying to lay hold on, what we are trying to enter into, is not something that's, you know, when the Bible said there be few that find it. Truly, there be few that find it. When you hear things like, many are called, but few are chosen. The few that are chosen is not because God desire to do favoritism. No. There was a way they positioned themselves to be chosen. Example of what I'm giving to you, I'm showing to you, is the 10 virgins. Out of the 10, some took time to position and kept positioning their hearts. Because that parable was a parable of hearts. It was heart preparation for to enter into, and the season came when it was now time to enter. And the time to enter is always short. It's always short. And if you don't enter, you will be left out. Now, being left out now, I know we use that place for rapture. But I always argue, and I can prove it, it's not rapture. It's not rapture. Because if it's rapture, they can't come back to begin to knock. Which door will they see? I'm asking you. You know the other 5 virgins, the ones called foolish virgins. Why were they called foolish virgins? You know, soberness is a fruit of wisdom. A heart that is wise will be sober. A heart that is wise will see the importance of the matter and will be sober. So, soberness is a fruit of wisdom. That's why they were called wise virgins. And the other ones we are called foolish virgins. Why? These ones took the matter serious and they were watching thereunto in prayer, in being perseverance and in prayer, and they were watching in prayer. So when it was time, they were chosen. Now you know that's 5 of them were chosen. All of them heard the voice. Arise, for the bridegroom cometh. But the fact that you heard the bridegroom cometh does not mean that you'll be chosen. Because you didn't position yourself to be chosen. You could hear, arise, for the bridegroom cometh. Arise to meet him. And everybody, yeah, everlasting life door has been opened. And then you just discover that it's not everybody that entered. What just happened? But that will not be your portion. Yeah. Arise to enter. And everlasting life. But you just discover that some are chosen at that moment, because you can't at the gate they will choose. It was half that was chosen. And lo, behold, they were virgins. All of them were virgins. Even after all this walk with Christ, after all of this patience and serving Christ and walking with Christ, that you don't understand what I'm saying. Your serving of Christ is what made you virgin. Anyone who has not served Christ won't be virgin. And I'm saying serve Christ fully. It will make you virgin at heart. But virgin has to be wise. The virgin has to be what?
Wise.
Has to be wise. So it's a virgin that is wise that will be sober. And then watch thereunto, praying. Before we began to pray we began to fast and pray this year. It's not as if we've not prayed other years, but before we had to begin to fast and pray concerning this matter, I felt strong impression in my spirit that one of the things that we have to do and do very well at this time is to stay in prayers. As a matter of fact, last year I was talking with our daddy, Daddy Yogi, I said, can we just pray throughout the year? I wish we could just pray throughout the year. Because I know that we've gotten to the place where I'm talking about the whole company. Can I say something to us? You know, we are not the only church fasting and praying among our company. Love City is fasting and praying. Governing Church is to City Gate. Lighthouse is Cleve is fasting. So is the Lord who did that. We didn't discuss it. We never gathered together and said, okay, everybody, we're going to fast. No, I just discovered that as we started, I was preparing that we're going to fast. Pastor Tony said, the Lord also told him the same thing. This is the first time we find all the sister churches in this company fasting and praying at once. Be wise. That's what I'm saying. Watch. We are not joking. It's the Lord that stirred this season of fasting. And can I tell you something? There is something he wants to achieve. It's not ordinary. There's something he wants to achieve. In other years when we prayed at the end of the year. We pray, we touch different areas. Touch this one, touch that one, touch pregnant women, touch those who want to, and all of that. This year, the Lord is not allowing that at all. It's focus on this door of everlasting life. It will open and we will enter. Entrance into it. I don't need to say it again and again. You know, because you've heard it. Entrance into it is our salvation in this time and season that we are on earth. The earth, as you see it, is no longer the same. It will be difficult for anyone to survive here. When I mean survive, I'm not talking about surviving, not eating and drinking. No, I'm talking about surviving spiritually, thriving spiritually. The spiritual climate, because of corruption, that is, I don't want to say is heightened, but the force of corruption is terrible. It's terrible. I was sharing with our brethren in Gadite. I told them, I said, somehow we that are in this company, we are shielded from a whole lot of things that is going on in the body. We are part of the body, but we are in the womb. We are hidden. It's God's wisdom. But you need to know what is going on in the body. The little I heard, I now said, this present church will not escape tribulation. We have arguments among the evangelicals. Basically, the evangelical theologians about pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. How many of us have heard all of about it? Pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Those are all school of thoughts concerning rapture. As if we are the ones that will determine what's... And sometimes when we do this theology, I say, just simply read it. If you go to Sunday school, they will teach you better. No man knoweth the hour. Neither the angels, nor the Son of God. Show me, he called it the Son of God. Doesn't even know the time. He said, he's only my father. Now, one would think, okay, maybe what he meant was that when he was here on earth, he didn't know. If I say this, you say, is he not God? What are you saying right now? The truth of the matter is that he's only the father. He left it in the father. That program is in the hand of the father. Because there are things, even right now, even though the father has given all things to him, there are things that are in the hand of the father to decide. It was in the hand of the father to send the Holy Ghost. So he had to pray the Father. So there are things that are in the hand of the Father. He said, whom the heavens will receive until the restitution of all things. So the Father has the program of restoring of all things. That's why he said to him, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So the issue of his pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. So the day the father just wakes up and said, it's time, go. Whatever you're doing. You know, I used to imagine things. And I was just telling myself that, you know, we are building a church auditorium. And it's a wonderful place. I would like to worship there. But you know, if rapture sounds, that's the end. Amen. Amen. You know, he's not going to say, or we pray, Lord, wait. At least wait. The husband man is the first partaker. We need to wait. Let's see what it looks like. Or maybe as a minister of the gospel, you have planned a crusade and printed posters and banners, and is to win souls to the kingdom. Amen. I mean, and then the posters are everywhere, and then the banner is everywhere. There's jingle everywhere. There's going to be a citywide crusade. I'm just imagining that. And then the father said, it's time. Your crusade don't end with that too. Amen. Or maybe you're writing a book. You know, you're writing a book. The mystery of God being finished. That's the title of the book. The mystery of God being finished. And you took time to wait and write. And you believe that this book is the book that is going to reconcile and bring many into the allocation of the kingdom. And while you are still writing before, maybe you finish writing and they're editing and you just hear trumpets. The mystery of God has finished. The mystery of God is not supposed to be finished in your book. It's supposed to be finished in the church. Amen. Now, do you understand what I'm talking about? So whether pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, don't disturb yourself. But one thing I can tell you is that this church, this present church, will go through tribulation. Nothing will purify this church except tribulation. This present church on earth right now. You know, when we've heard prophecies about the end time revival, there's going to be revival. Hospitals will empty and all of that. Revival, there's going to be great move of the Spirit. How do you think those things will happen? Go and check moves that happened. All the moves of the Spirit that we found in the turn of the 19th century, All happened after a terrible thing. The healing wave that hit America that affected other parts of the church in the world was after Second World War. Some of them after Great Depression. Some of them, that's in the 18th centuries, is after a plague. Serious plague. Then all of a sudden, revival. In the days of Alexander Darwin, it was a plague that was ravaging, killing everybody. Within a week, he buried tens of church members. He was just buried. Instead of service, he was attending funeral. Until the thing hit the sister, and he couldn't bear it again. He began to cry. That was when revival came. Check it. Oh, there was no revival. So you're saying end time revival and the move of the spirit, they're going to trouble this earth. And it's a trouble of this earth that will cause men to look up. Right now, you're telling men look up. They're telling you to see what? Here is where things are happening. But they're going to shake the earth. This earth, listen and listen carefully, this earth is going to be troubled. And can I tell you something? 2022 is part of the beginning of the trouble, of the sorrows that are to come. From 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and on it goes. That's what I'm saying. The earth you're seeing is going to be rocked. You know the funny thing, Pastor? Even the ones that are happening, I'm seeing the way men are interpreting it. They will blame it on climate change. I don't know how climate change and volcano, the greenhouse emission and the earth erupting magma, how they agree. I'm not a scientist, but I think that is stupidity. That science is stupidity. They have been prophesied here. But they don't want to agree, because if they agree, they have to agree with every other thing. They know it's here. I can read it for you. There are many places. The earth will be troubled. So like I said, our safety, you know, I always read that place is very, very true. I will keep you from the hour of temptation that is come to trouble all men. That hour of temptation is not the product or the making of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is actually a bringer of pseudo peace. The church needs to be taught very well. The Antichrist is not a bringer of tribulation. Now God, they bring tribulation. There's what is called the wrath of the Lamb. There is what is called the wrath of God. So those who are arguing about Christ and everlasting life, there is a portion in the book of Revelation called the wrath of the Lamb. There's the wrath of God. The wrath of God is higher. There's the wrath of the Lamb. Many did not repent. They had to pour out the wrath of God. The wrath of God is those things in the vial. That you saw those cherubims coming out from the most holy to pour upon the earth. Each outpouring is going to cause the earth to rumble and boil. The Antichrist will be trying to rationalize what is happening. Yeah. Now, calm down, calm down, calm down. It's not really, because some people want to seek solution or find answer from the Bible, but he's going to bring reasons. That's the spiritual. This, what you call climate, whatever, is antichrist spirit. But people don't know about it. It's antichrist spirit that tries explaining things in the scriptures away, giving it another meaning so that people will not, hearts needs to fear. Hearts needs to be troubled. Hearts needs to ask question, are we safe? Hearts needs to run. When you say, calm down, calm down, calm down. It's not really what you're thinking. He will tell them, it's not really what you think. You see, in science, there is the ecosystem. And so, because of that, you know, a whole lot of explanation. When I just listen to them, I'm like, Kai, just go to Sunday school. You will be taught better. You will understand better. The answer is not in science. The answer is in the Bible. Let me continue. Let's leave it for another day. Amen. So he said, be sober, watch, and pray. Now, one of the places that Jesus told us to watch and pray, or told his disciples, it was his disciples, was at the Mount of Olives. When he told them, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. That you enter not into temptation. Now that word, enter not into temptation, let's understand it very well. Temptation will come. Amen. As long as you're in this body, you will be tempted. Right? Amen. What did I say? You will be tempted. Temptation ceases when you get out of this body. If you just leave your body right now, temptation ceases. But as long as you're in this body, you are up for temptation. So when he said, pray that you enter not. That word enter not is that you don't fall into. Yeah. Now the essence of temptation is for you to fall. It's for you to fall from your steadfastness in the faith. From holding what you're holding. So part of our prayer is that we fall not into temptation. Can I tell you the temptation that we are being tempted right now? To disbelieve everlasting life is a temptation. I tell you, as I was traveling, I met it in Austria. They had to ask me questions. Most of the thing I did was to clear the ground, clear the air. When I finished, they said, you've helped us. You've helped us. I met it in Poland. I had to sit down with pastor and we began to see it. It's not as though they are doubting, but hearts are not fully assured. And I know it is the same way with many of us. I know it's the same way many of us. There are two types of these I'm seeing. One, like I was telling you, I spent 2 hours talking to a beloved sister. 2 hours. And that very day, I was tired. I've just finished fasting. I was tired. I spent 2 hours talking to her. And what was the issue? Issue of everlasting life. Christ. He said, before we said is, we are doing Christ, we are doing Christ. Now, we are doing God. Is Christ and God not the same? I say you just need to wait and understand this thing very well. Because apparently she stopped listening to messages. She's a wonderful sister, lovely sister. I understand her heart. It's just she couldn't endure, you know. She's not in the country. She's not amongst us here. If she was here, I'm sure somehow the atmosphere and the covering. Many of you don't even understand it. It's just the covering. It's the covering that is preventing the temptation. When you go out there, Canada, America, where you're exposed. If you've been to America, it's just by God's grace we are trying to gather the brethren and provide a covering for them. You hear about brethren in diaspora. It's just God's doing that we're able to gather them and begin to provide covering from them from afar off. But when you go there, thoughts. You don't know how you know, because you're covered, you're on a cocoon, you're in the womb, you don't understand. Thoughts are powerful. You just see yourself doubting everything you've ever been taught. And the next thing is for you to step out of order and begin to do what you feel like. Somebody said, let me once be free. So who bound you? We didn't bind you. I used to know a beloved sister. Her complaint was, Kai, you guys, meeting. That was when she was here. Meeting. All your life is meeting. You don't even have fun. God bless her soul. But she has seen the essence of meeting right now. Because she's in a place where she does not have opportunity for meeting. And you will now see that is meeting that is meeting your need. Is meeting that is preserving your soul. All right. Can we have the interpretation?
Thank you, Jesus. E cavleri e tsasula va har sa sine har sa seri har har sine. Hati har ha sari har ha sari di arada tre sef har ne ha sine hom. Ha si ko shahar ha sari ne har adani. Ha ha shavre ha ne har saul ha har da ha si zahan tre de sova mi haten. Ha yosef va sa ne ga di as so jevani ka simiano vam. Ah, si. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is our day that's today. This is the observation of they that observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. For you see, the light that is shining unto you is mercy. It's mercy that is coming to you, even your generation. Mercy. And condemnation is when light comes, men do not follow that light to the place that the light is leading them. For you see, this light is to lead you to life, even zones of life that will save you even from the death that has been passed, that has been determined even upon men. For there's a death determined upon humanity, even men at this time. Therefore, this light is shining. Even the doctrine, even the teachings of everlasting life are shining even to save man from a death. And sin is when light comes. Even condemnation is when light comes. And men love darkness. For to love
love darkness, is to not pursue the light, not to chase after understanding of the light that is shining upon you in this season. And I'm shining it to save you. I'm shining it to preserve you. I'm shining it even to inoculate you against that which is to come. For you see, no man has the power to withstand that which is to come, except you are helped from on high. Except you are helped from on high. That is why it is a mercy. That is why it is a mercy. It's a mercy poured upon man to save you even from that which is to come. No one will escape. No one will escape without this inoculation, without this advent of light. So see that your heart is helped. See that you embrace the help that has been poured out to you. That's been poured out to you. That's been poured out to you through this light. I bring grace, says the Spirit of Grace. Bring grace. I bring grace. I bring grace to follow this light to its conclusion. Follow it to its conclusion. For its conclusion is life. Its conclusion is everlasting life. Its conclusion is clarity. Clarity in pursuit. Clarity for to lay hold on that which has been promised. You have been promised an escape. You have been promised a life. You have been promised an entrance. Pleki stio true savania ratane shiase. I will help you. I'm on hand to help you to follow this light to the end. Just follow. Follow with sincerity of heart, and you will come to provisions that will see you to the end. We'll see you to this very end. Even the end that is determined, says the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. So the temptation that we should pray that we do not fall into, you know, like I said, you will be tempted. He's not saying pray that you will not be tempted. That one, you can't pray it away. How many of us know that? How many of you agree with what I'm saying? You can't pray temptation away. But what he's saying is pray that you enter. So temptation is a hole that you should not, or a ditch you should not enter. You shouldn't fall into that ditch. And the ditch before us is a ditch of doubting. You know, they did not enter into my rest. Why? Because of evil heart of unbelief. Evil heart of unbelief was what Satan intended. Of course, he brought temptation to them. Watch what points that temptation came to the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was just at the point where they were about to break through into something. Remember, when Moses went to get the commandment, temptation, while he was not there, while God was busy downloading things to Moses, the children of Israel were tempted by a spirit called Rempham. And that spirit made them raise an idol called Moloch. It was to ensure that these people will, their hearts will not be positioned to receive the commandment. So when the commandment came, they didn't have the template of hearts for to receive it. And so it has to be kept in the Ark of Covenant. It was supposed to be kept in their hearts. They were supposed to be a peculiar treasure unto God, a peculiar nation. So God is busy taking his treasure, choosing his treasure. But they couldn't enter because of unbelief. So I want to say, I'm sounding it right now so that you will understand that you're hearing, okay, this one is arguing with this one, the other one is arguing with this one. Close your ears from it. If you don't understand it, wait. Wait. Give me Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, I think 10. Isaiah 50, 10. I want us to... He said, who is among you? That is the disposition we should have. That feareth the Lord. We must possess fear enough. This is how to handle the temptation of this season. Things are going to come that will make you doubt everlasting life. had to ask my sister that I was, wonderful sister, we are still discussing. I told her, I said, well, I'll clear this doubt. Even if that's the last thing I'll do for you, I'll clear this doubt. I told her, I said, first of all, I want to understand, are you offended with the ministers that preach this thing? That's the temptation. I said, are you offended? She said, no. I was talking with her, I sensed her spirit. Her spirit was pure. There was no offense. Because I know one of the things Satan will do is to get you offended. Let me give you a commandment by the Spirit. Can I give you a commandment by the Spirit?
Yes,
do you want me to give a commandment by the Spirit?
Yes,
love those who preach this thing. Love them more than you've ever loved them. You would have kept that devil away. There is no way you will love them that you won't eventually come into what they are saying, because you love them, your heart will be open. When you were in school, those of us who, even some of us who are in school, hate your teacher and see any lecturer you hate, you will never pass. You won't do well in it. Is it not true? It's the same principle. So one subtle way Satan comes is that he will come and make you hate the person for no just cause. You even sit down and you're wondering, why do I not? I just don't like him. They like stretching things. They like making it as if they are the only ones that know revelation. Nobody is. His Bible is on your table. Open it. So he wants to make you hate the person. And he knows once you hate the person, your heart shuts. And once your heart shuts, understanding is kept away from you. That is why the next verse said in that 1 Peter chapter 4, the next verse said, have fervent charity. Have fervent charity. Meaning your love at that moment should be both your love for the minister and your love for the brethren, because he will get you offended with the minister. After a while, he will get you offended with brethren. Especially those who are taking it serious. So all of them have been deceived. All of them have been deceived. The way they are following it, they're not even asking questions. They accused me of that. Those days, I just shut my ears. They say he just follows everything Reverend Ogoke teaches, hook, line, and sinker. He just swallows it, hook, line, and sinker. I said, if you give me opportunity, I'll swallow it, hook, line, sinker, and swallow him. The fisherman and the boat. And then drink the water of the sea. That's how far I'm willing to go. So he comes with that offense. Understand, it's not the offense. Because, like I said, there is no reason for the offense. But he's not after the offense. He's after your lot. He's after your lot. So he will give you reasons why you should not love. And they are not reasonable reasons. He will ask, what did the person do to you? I didn't beg you to come for meeting. I didn't beg you to stream. Why are you streaming and complaining? Because he said, use hospitality without grudging. Don't grudge. So give me that Isaiah. Let me show you. Because there are some that are questioning because there is no light. They don't understand. There are some that are questioning because, let me show you this before I, what we are dealing with is smarter than us. You know, sin, iniquity, smarter than us. Very high thoughts. It's iniquity that will tell you that they are stretching things. Because he knows that that is how they aspire him. He doesn't want to leave you alone. So they are stretching things. They are stretching. Here they come again. After a while, they will tell us that it's no more faith, hope, charity. It's now everlasting life and eternal life. After a while, they will tell us it's no more eternal life. There is first walk, second walk, and all of that. Leave that thing. I ask the person, are you changing? That's the litmus test. Are you changing? Are you the same person you used to be last year? I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not talking about physically. Spiritually, don't you find strength to resist envy than before? You have more energy to go against the dictates of the flesh than before. You won't even know when you are dead in sin and trespasses. But right now you can spot thoughts and know this thought is not of God. This is Satan coming. You have strength to resist some things that you were not able to resist before. You think it's your sheer will? You don't know it's what you've been listening to. So if it's changing you, why are you? If Christ, you had faith, hope, charity, because we fought the same battle then. If you had faith, hope, charity, and you changed. So why will you doubt this one? We will dissolve these doubts.
Amen.
And you will understand it clearly. It's Bible. We are not running away. We will dissolve it. Look out. So there are people who, they fear God. They are sincere. Look at what Isaiah said. Who is among you that fear the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Do you obey the voice of his servant? I know you say, I obey the voice of Jesus. No, I say the voice of his servant. The Lord Jesus has servants. Those who are serving him are those who are preaching him and walking him. And when they say something, do you obey it? There are people who are there that do that. But they walk in darkness. Why would they be walking in darkness? Because they are sincere. They fear God. They obey. They've been obeying. But there is no understanding. That is darkness. Darkness is lack of understanding. There is no understanding to this degree. There is no understanding of the light to this degree that is coming. So is darkness to them. What did he say? And had no light, meaning you don't have light, because the entrance of the word giveth light and understanding. So you don't have light in the area of everlasting life. He said, let him do what?
Trust.
Have faith. Even if you don't understand, believe. We are not telling you lies. It's not cunningly devised fables. Watch our lives.
Yes.
I can boldly tell you, watch our lives. Watch the lives of those who have preached to you. Do I look like a fraudster? Does Daddy Oyegoke look like a fraudster? Watch the lives. Some others will, Paul was saying, they will spit on you. abuse you, put hands in your pocket, collect what you have, and you still submit. But we don't do that. We don't take advantage of anybody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The only thing we are saying is follow Jesus. Is there any other thing we've done? Are we using gimmicks?
No.
He has not. He said, let him trust. So the first thing is trust. Can you say trust?
Trust
is have faith. Trust that what they are saying to you is true. I had to tell Pastor, I was over there. I don't know, I said, when we started hearing it, when I heard it the first time, I myself, I had issues with it. All of us. These things, they come in trickles. I remember the very message that he preached it before he, I think it's either 2018 or 2017, he preached, he was talking about Christ. That every Christ, that Christ is not enough. That one alone. I had to take it up in School of the Spirit. And prophecy came to help me that very day. Kule, you remember? Afterwards, you came to tell me, say, Pastor, God helped you today. Now, truly, God helped me. Because the thing just jumped out of my mouth. You know that when you're preaching, you're actually prophesying. There are sometimes things you didn't want to say. When it has come out, you say, I didn't mean to say it. But it came out and you can't take it back. So we have to start breaking it. And start breaking. That was when those things were coming, they come in trickles. But right now they are coming much. It's deluge. But if you listen to messages some 4 or 5 years ago, you would have seen where the thing will come. Like just maybe on the saying, it will just be said and then they will leave it and then continue something else. He said, let them trust in the name of the Lord and stay. What did he say?
Stay.
I'm not hearing you.
Stay.
Tell somebody, do what?
Stay.
Stay. You will understand it. And by the time you understand, you ask yourself, how come I did not understand? What was exactly the matter with me? You will understand it.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord and stay. Stay. Wait on the Lord. Stay upon the Lord. Verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover multitude of sins. So this is a season where we need to, I'm showing us the heart disposition we need to have. We need to have charity. Love like never before. Can you tell somebody love like never before? I don't have time to break it down, but charity believeth all things. Hope at all things. You know what it means? You hope all things. All things of God. Endure it. Because you need to endure it. You need to endure sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is a doctrine of God. You need to endure it. You need to wait and endure. Because it's a wait in itself. You need to endure. That's what charity does. Fervent charity. Fervent charity. Have fervent charity. Love one another like never before. The essence of Christ really is to teach us how to love one another. The commandment of Christ. He said, bear you one another's burden and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So the law of Christ is to teach you how to love one another. Why will you need to love one another? Because of the allocation. Because of the next allocation. Meaning, the only thing that will keep us steady is if our heart is knitted together in love. It will bring us to the place of full assurance. If you find your heart not being assured, check your love. If you find your heart not being assured, check your love. Check your love. You discover that you've not done charity well. If you've done charity well, charity has a way of strengthening your heart to be assured, meaning strengthening your heart to trust and stay and believe. That's how charity will cover. He says, charity shall. You know, we used to say, charity cover it. That's not what he said. This is King James. Charity, this charity shall cover multitude of faults. Because you will love and love and love. So, check your love. You need to love one another much more than ever before. Can I tell you another one? The one I just said before. A commandment. Love the people that preach this thing like never before. Have fervent charity towards them. Have fervent charity towards the people who are believing it and doing it. You know, some of us, I love some of our brethren. They don't really understand it, but they will go for it. They will keep following. They don't understand it, but they trust. They keep following. And they keep going after it. Don't hate them. Love them. Can I tell you another one? Don't say they are pretending. You too pretend. Let all of us be pretending. Let's pretend unto God. We can pretend unto glory. When they see that we are pretending, and our pretense is because we don't have light as we ought to, they will give us light. But this is what I'm saying. Don't leave the domain of love. Meaning, don't leave the domain of your brethren. Don't leave. Because one of the things Satan wants to do is to make you begin to doubt, question, and the next thing you begin to leave the domain of brethren. I have my own persuasions. I need to start reading my Bible by myself. No, you've been reading your Bible by yourself. Nobody stops you from reading Bible, but I can tell you that you will never understand more than you are taught. No matter how you study and study, by Greek, by Hebrew, by Latin, by Vulgate, Septuagint, by all of them, put them on your table, the more you look. Because He ordained it that by preaching and teaching, and they don't preach and teach on the street. You need to be among your brethren. It is in the midst of the brethren I will declare your name. So you need to be. So one of the things He wants to do is separate you from the brethren. Those are the temptations. That's why He's wanting fervent charity. We need to have fervent charity. That fervent charity will make you stay. I won't go. I don't understand it, but I will understand it. I don't understand it, but I trust my pastor. He's a sincere man.
Amen. Amen.
I don't understand what he's saying, but I've seen the people who are preaching this thing. They are sincere. Can I tell you something? I am a son of Daddy Ogoke.
Yes, sir.
I know him. He can be this sincere before the Lord, and the Lord will allow him make mistake.
Yes, sir.
The Lord won't allow him make mistake. You know why? That one I'm very, 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 very sure. That's why I don't doubt. I'm very, very sure. You know why? Because there's a whole lot of people in the boat. It's a generation. is a generation under him. The Lord's hand is heavy on him. He's not him. I know he is not. He's not him. He's the Lord that is using him. He's the Lord. The hand of the Lord is so much upon him. What he's doing is extraordinary. Preach every day. The same thing, 3 hours. Every day. Try preaching for 1 hour. He's the hand of the Lord. And the Lord had to keep him. He's a prisoner.
Yes, sir.
He has been imprisoned by the Lord. And I tell you, I'm not, see, anybody can, you know, because when I teach like this, some people, I get attacks. You can attack me. The Lord will preserve me. Because some people hear it and say, I'm praising man. It's your business. But I know the Lord is keeping him.
Amen.
The Lord has imprisoned him because of your generation. Because of my generation. The Lord will not allow him to make mistake. Amen. So I said to you, trust. Trust. In the name of the Lord. And stay upon your God. Stay with your brethren. Don't let that spirit drive you away. Stay with your brethren. You will understand. When Jesus was teaching, some people didn't understand. Peter came to him and told him, you know they don't understand. Your own is that you're even understanding. In Jesus' time, they didn't understand. And Jesus didn't care. And Peter was, I'm sure Peter was not just complaining about the people. He too was complaining about himself. You know, there's a way we package words. So, you know, people actually don't understand this message. Is there any way we can say it better? No, you're speaking for yourself. Then Jesus answered him specifically. He said, to them, it is not given to know, but to you. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. You must know. Because to you, it's given to know. That is given to you to know does not mean you will know all of a sudden. You will know as you follow on to know. You have to follow on to know. He's coming to us. He's a preparation. He's a preparation. So he has to be coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. He will come until he has fully shine light to you. And you will understand. His coming is your salvation. So don't doubt your salvation. Don't live in the day when they are about to just begin to share salvation portion. You get offended and said, I want to be reading my Bible. They won't give you salvation reading your Bible alone. Quote me anywhere.
Yes, sir.
There's a way it's done. Reading your Bible alone, they won't give you salvation. If it's like monks, those monks in the monasteries, they would have been saved since. Have you met some theologians? Have you met some theologians? They would have been saved. But the more they read, the more confused they are. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's actually man that sits down to study and discover faith, hope, charity, place it in the order? Place the order of grace, peace, and then begin to understand everlasting life, the disparity between everlasting life and Christ, and then everlasting life and God. You think those things we are planned? You can't even think like that. Okay, you think your own. Think your own, bring it and preach it. Let's see. Do you think his man's doing that? He's preaching such a way that you're beginning to understand so great salvation. understand what is called salvation. Do you know that many in the body still see salvation just at the point of the new birth? Many still see salvation just at the point of new birth. But you know that salvation is much more than just the new birth. You know that. How did you understand it? So what makes you think that this one you will not understand it? Pray that you fall not into temptation. That's the temptation that is around us right now. Pray. That's one of the things we have to pray. That every one of us will stand steadfast. Even if I don't understand, I believe it. I will keep on with it. We will see the end of this matter. Hear me. We will see the end of this matter. As long as it's not this word that is preached. As long as it's not vanity that is preached. As long as it's not money that is preached. As long as it's not any of these ephemeral things that is preached. As long as it is God. As long as it's not philosophy, it's not vain deceit, it's not tradition of men, it's not rudiments of this world that is being preached. As long as it's Christ. Are we saying you're nothing apart from Christ? Apart from Christ and God. We will get to the end of it. And you know the end of it? The end of it is eternal life. We will know the true God, though. Why did he mention to give us an understanding? That we might know him that is true. If it's easy to know him that is true, and you are in him that is true, even in his son Jesus Christ, he called him, this is the true God. He wants to give us the true God. The true God is eternal life. That's the true God. That's eternal life. So let not your heart faint. Let not your heart doubt. Let not your heart. I want to drive that spirit far away.
Amen.
Let your heart say with me, I believe. Raise your Bible again. Say with me,
I believe
that this word, even my Bible,
is inspired
by God
to give me
everlasting life
and eternal life.
Therefore, I will have ears,
not itching ears,
but open ear,
even ear of charity,
to hear
and believe.
And hear,
and believe,
I will hear,
I will choose to trust,
even when I don't understand fully,
I will hear,
and I will choose to believe,
I will hear,
and hear,
and hear,
and hear,
until light breaks forth.
Into my soul, giving me understanding
of the true God
and eternal life. That's what we are doing. Give the Lord a big shout. Give the Lord a big shout. I want to say it again to you. Stay in charity. understanding will not elude you. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Understanding of everlasting life will never elude anybody who is in charity. Don't be tempted away from charity, loving one another. In John, he said, this is the commandment we've received, that we should love God and love one another. Keep loving one another, you will understand. Amen. Let's give God the praise today.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for